Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in and turn up the volume and get ready for our guest today, Matt Barnett. Matt, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Grin Gets Real. I'm really excited to have you here talking about authenticity and all of that good stuff.
Hey, Katya. Great to be here.
Well, let's start off by sharing a little bit about who you are and who Bonjoro is.
My name's Matt. I'm officially the Papa Bear or CEO of a company called Bonjoro based out of Sydney. We are a personalized video messaging system. So what we found is that at certain points on the customer journey, taking 30 seconds to send a video to an individual, so to Susie from Oklahoma, thanking them for purchase, asking them to leave a review, suggesting they move on to a subscription model instead of a one-to-one purchase model, can have a huge impact in terms of engagement and then driving better actions. So again, just taking that 30 seconds with a customer really drives more success in asking them to go and perform things for you and your company.
Nice. Well, now let's just kind of dive into it. The title of this podcast is authenticity a buzzword? And the reason that I bring that up is because we live in just kind of the digital world. If you could just kind of define what digital culture means to you, that would be great.
Authenticity is a buzzword. Like, I think you primarily think around, kind of like how we speak online without a face, without a voice necessarily. We think about maybe the only time that's used is internally with team, whereas really it should be used externally with customers. I think, like, at the end of the day, we're humans. We've spent 2 million years evolving to work with other people and to communicate like face-to-face and voice-to-voice, and just being who we are. And the way you get trust is just by being who you are, aka authentic. So I think in terms of like business, if you look at that, building trust in the online world and digital world, the easiest way to do it is to turn up, I think. And that will then influence your brand and kind of how you go from there. So I think digital culture, think about trust, think about authenticity, think about using your team. It's not just about using social. It's about getting into who you are when you're at home and when you're working together, but getting that out online in a successful way. I've talked around a bit there. Does that kind of make sense?
It definitely does make sense. And the reason that I do say, is authenticity a buzzword? I think that you hit the nail on the head with that, that it can often be a little bit overused with marketing. But I think that a part of the reason that that is because it's so important to be able to make that human connection. Like, you're going to listen to me or you're going to hear a recommendation from me if I truly love it. You can tell if I'm BSing. Right? And that's not authentic, right? And that's essentially the difference. I think also in the world of influencer marketing, that's where we use it a lot too. Like, you have to find an influencer that truly represents, something that they love. That's authentic. I'm going to believe that. What's your take on influencer marketing and authenticity and,
A lot of our growth has been through influencers. So we invest a lot in customer success heavily because we use it as a growth lever. And so that what it's given us is it's given us customers and super fans who love us and talk about us, and we end up going on webinars and podcasts and we do content together. With us, it wouldn't work if they weren't already customers and didn't really love not just the product but the brand and kind of the team. So we try and get that passion in because that's what converts. Again, we would never. You don't pay for people who are just going to spout your name even if they don't believe in what you do, because people will see through it. I think there's been a shift in, consumer attitudes over the last few years, especially in kind of like driven by the corporate side of town, which is that I think people are over the BS. I think they're starting to spot the kind of fake attitudes. They're starting to spot the tricks. They're starting to get fed up of it. Like, my inbox is full of trash like every day, and we've hit like a tipping point where suddenly those brands that are like, again, you hate all of the word, but like are actually authentic and that are human and that are just coming at you as they are, it's actually pretty refreshing, and it's leading to those brands growing faster. I mean, Slack's a good example. Yeah. That one move they had a while ago, which was if you remove a team member, they refund you, like straight away. Don't ask any questions, give it back. Suddenly everyone was like, oh, this is a different attitude. This is very authentic. Although it was on the personal front, somebody made that decision and the culture made that decision that if someone's not using us, give the money back, refund, don't worry about it. That's generated so much goodwill, and you can kind of see it on other points of their culture. So again, I think consumers have hit a breaking point. I think you have to be transparent and be yourself, because like the old school way, the barriers are coming down.
Well, I'm curious what your opinion is on this, because you said, you know, consumers are starting to clue in. Do you think that the pandemic has helped in that cluing in of like, oh, wait a second? Or do you think that it was certainly something that started happening before that?
I think it's been happening before that. I think mm-hmm. you've seen it, you know, you've seen for me, the biggest significant thing is when corporate starts to change, because they are the dinosaurs. They're the ones that don't change. So like young companies can do this easier. The fact that big organizations are now being called out for it and starting to do it, and the fact that it's been, I mean, fake news, yeah, like the word of the year, like, you know, this last couple of years, like this has arisen for a reason. Like people are calling out companies that aren't doing this, and they never used to. They used to kind of go along with it. So that's been happening for a while. The pandemic, I think it's helped companies embrace the change, because it's been a tough time, and like with remote working, employees have struggled. And so companies have actually had to change to help their staff as well. Yeah. And to embrace their staff and to give staff more freedom in how they communicate with customers. And that's just driven it all through. So I think it's helped, but it's not a new, like this was happening. It was inevitable.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. And, you know, do you think that there is play on having that authentic connection, really extending the lifetime value of that customer that you get in for that genuine connection? Does that make any sense?
Like, yeah, 100%. So we as a company have used that to our advantage. We do it as a operationally, but essentially, there are choices in the market today for whatever you do. Like you have competition, 100%. You can say you don't, but you do. There's always different decisions we can make. There is a wealth of choice like there has never been before. So, you know, how do you compete? Sure, like price, you know, product, whatever else. But I think brand and the way you treat your customers is an absolutely outstanding way to compete here. So if you build relationships with customers, if people like you and they have an issue, they're not going to bounce. They're going to come and talk to you, you know, like straight away. What's more, if they love you, so like, advocacy, super fans, however you want to call it, you know, the argument here is you don't need 10,000 customers. You need 1,000 customers who just love and rave about you. They will go and tell everyone about you, and that will bring in more customers who convert cheaper. It will get those customers who are talking about you to stay longer and to buy more and to become like these raving fans. You know, like lo and behold, can you get people to tattoo your brand on their arm?
Yes.
Get to that stage. And when you say lifetime value, we talk about like actual life, like someone will stay with you for 40 years. Like that's what you should be thinking of. Not like, I don't know, it's not like 6 to 12 months. Like think about like what it means, lifetime. Like they should stay with you and pass you on to their kids, and their family should use you. And like if you can get to that, then your business will just crush the competition.
What do you say to people who are trying to identify what is going to get that across the most? And let me give some context to this. With marketing, everything is all about attribution, right? I'm going to invest in something that is for sure going to increase that lifetime value. And I want to be able to see that one-to-one. But what you had just described is also, you know, someone really kind of living and breathing your brand, and they're talking about it, not online, and it's nothing that you can attribute back to it. What do you say to someone who's like, okay, well, how can you prove that being authentic is going to either increase the lifetime value or increase my sales? Or what do you say to something like that?
Yeah, so you need to look at leading indicators versus lagging. So lagging indicators are like, has our revenue or lifetime value gone up? Leading indicators, you need to look for signs this is working. So I agree, like attribution is important. Yeah, so like you need to be able to measure these things, because if when it's working, everyone will start to do it more. You can convince leadership, etc.
Yes.
Look, there's also a personal thing, which is if you're more authentic and more open and easygoing, it's actually a lot easier. It's a lot easier for your team to be that way, because they should be themselves. But you can bring it back. So like word of mouth, you will see You'll see that coming through in things like direct traffic, and you know, you'll see a larger volume of search direct traffic. You can include obviously sharing links that start to show this is being shared more. You can start to use some of these, try and track it. You can give discounts, you can give deals, try and track it back. You can ask people when they came in, where they come from. I mean, the simple things can do attribution. The other thing is you will just see more of a groundswell. So again, pull out the levers and the tracking that you understand. So what's coming from paid, what's coming from this, pull it out. And if you see the percentages start to shift more towards direct search, then you need to make some kind of mental leaps, but that has to be coming from somewhere. And if it's coming, it's generally coming from word of mouth. So try and understand, talk to customers. If you're not talking to customers, then you're missing a trick here. Like ask them. Just ask people. Start to run.
That's simple. Just ask.
Just ask them, yeah. Like things like if you ask for reviews or ask for case studies, as you do a better job, you will see the response rate on those increase. So, you know, you might ask for reviews and get a 10% completion rate. As you start to do a better job of customer advocacy and involving them, then what you'll see is that 10 will go to 12, to go to 14, to go to 15. Next thing you know, a third of all customers you ask are leaving a review. Something has changed through that. And you can measure reviews back to like traffic and value. So at the beginning, look for leading indicators that may be more qualitative, that show that stuff's happening. Over time, you can put tracking in and you can measure. You can measure the things that you know will lead to this. So like, again, review rates is a good example.
Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier that influencers was how you guys started, but you also just said customer advocacy. So I'm wondering what your definition of influencer is.
So with us, so we have customer advocacy. Some of those customers have a lot more reach and we tend to do co-creation of something together. So we'll often, you know, we might run a deal together. We might get on a webinar with a group together. We might go on a podcast. They might just run an event and talk about us. That in our minds is how we think about influencers. So anyone who could bring in, you know, a much larger audience into what we do. We have advocates who are individual, like we have micro influencers, we class them as well. So this might be, you know, a yoga instructor who happens to be in a group of, you know, 20 other yoga instructors who, when they talk, everyone will come on board. Like those exist too. And so again, it's not like they have huge reach, but they have powerful reach. You probably have a much better way of explaining this than me.
No, I love it. I the reason that I asked the question is because I think that especially with influencer marketing, is it's something that people all think that they know what it is, but everybody has a different definition and it's always been viewed as something new. But really, reviews, that's not new. That's, you know, that's influencer generated content right there. You're literally asking someone to like try me out and tell me what you think. And that's influencer marketing. So that's why I always want to ask that because I do want to get the viewpoints. I love the fact that you connect with your customers and those are your influencers, right? But they're your customers. They have a brand affinity and that's why it works for you. And that's why you've grown your business. Because before we, you know, got to recording, you were saying, you know, you guys are 3 years old, like, and you're very successful. Now, going back to just kind of authenticity and then Bonjouro, how you guys use videos to make that connection. What is the video the authentic part for you? Like being able to show that human connection throughout like the customer journey or the sales journey for you guys?
So here's the thing. We don't think of ourselves as a video company. Video is a wonderful medium. You know, the same as email companies don't think of themselves as a text company. Like it's a medium. Yes. Now it happens to be the best way other than getting in person to get this across. Yeah, like communication is 70% visual, you know, and then you have tone of voice and everything else and gestures that come into that. So video is a great way of getting that across. What we're actually doing is giving customers time. So giving our customers time. So the fact that you would stop for 30 seconds in your day and acknowledge a customer or thank them, and they know it's for them because you're saying their name, if you're B2B sales, you're saying their company name or you're saying where they're from, that acknowledgement is hugely impactful. I think it's impactful because in online situations and relationships, that's been dropped. We used to do it. We used to go in the shop and know the local butcher and the baker and have that conversation every day. In Australia, we have a huge coffee culture. We all have our favorite baristas. We follow them. If they move to another company, we go with them. And you turn up and they hold thousands of like names and mini relationships in their head. And every morning you're there, they make you smile as well as getting the coffee. It's like taking that online. So you go there because like the product has to be good, the service has to be good, but you get that little hit of delight, we call it as well. And you get that little hit of connection, and humans need connection. And the last 12 months, this has been more apparent than ever.
Yeah, and that was going to be actually my follow-up question too. Would you say that you guys have seen an increase in the past 12 months because of that? I mean, I would think that more people are gravitating towards that human connection. Like much like you, my email box is just filled with things that I delete. And it's interesting because I catch myself stopping at certain things, and the videos always do get me. I'm like, is this worth it? Is this something they send to everybody? Because I also get people try everything. So I'm just wondering, like, have you seen a greater shift up from a business perspective with your tool?
Yeah, look, we have. And it's interesting looking at, we've also seen like a shift in types of industries that we get heavily used by. Uh-huh. So e-commerce was always on the periphery. And my CMO was like, e-commerce is amazing. But because I'm a SaaS guy, it wasn't easy for me to make that connection. Because I was like, yeah, but it's one-time purchases. Now the last like 8 months, like e-commerce has started to change. It started to talk about the idea of lifetime value and subscription models and repeat purchases more than they ever have before. And so we've seen that we've come in when people are going, it's not about one purchase. It's about keeping a customer who comes back and back and back. And this is both in consumables, I think. So things like coffee, seeds, but then also in higher ticket price items that are seemingly unique, but in fact, you know, you will get repurchased down the line. So it's interesting seeing how this is changing. Online education has been another piece that's really taken off this year. So seeing where people are investing time. There's definitely been a lot more emails coming through this year. There's been a lot more like people trying every single method to connect. I think the video is working because it works both ways as well. If I'm in a company, I still send 10 a day to our signups. Like most of my team do them. But for me, having that connection to other humans in little points throughout the day like makes my job more enjoyable. And I think people are starting to realize that as well. They're missing having the back alley and coffee catch-ups with partners and who knows what else, you know, beyond just team.
Yeah, you kind of have to take it outside of like the day-to-day 8-to-5 kind of business. We all enjoy the water cooler talk, right? Of like, hey, what's going on? And video definitely lends to that for sure. You had mentioned making those videos a little bit more personal. Do you find that in your business specifically, you run up against people saying like, oh, that's going to take too much time. Like if I have 1,000 customers who are purchasing, am I really going to be able to like send these individual videos? Like, isn't there a mass email send out? Like, what do you say when people are battling the like, yeah, I want to be more personal, but where do I find the bandwidth to do something like that?
Yeah. So there's a few things here. So first of all is that not all customers and leads are equal. So understanding where to invest your time is important. If there's a lookalike who is likely to be a customer that stays and spends more money, spend more time with those. Spend more time with the customers that are going to stay with you. So it obviously involves your funnel and understanding that better. Secondly, is if you have a team, like share the load. It's not just you. It's a team that does it. Yeah, and obviously, like juniors can be. The good thing about video and talking authentically is that anyone can do it on day one. There's no training curve here. It's not like you need like a copywriter who's got 10 years of experience doing the perfect EDMs. Like anyone get on video. Yeah. And as an example, when we first started doing these because we started these for our agency in the beginning, I used to do it on a boat that I took to work that went past Sydney Opera House. And most responses couldn't understand me because of the amount of wind that was in my face. But
talk about authenticity.
but they loved it because they were like, this is crazy. And so like what I was saying was less important than the fact I'd done it. Yeah. And this is understanding the psychology behind it. Anything could get going. The other thing is, you know, if you work through this and work out that some customers are worth it, et cetera, like there comes a point when it's, you know, if you aren't willing to spend 30 seconds on the customer, you probably don't deserve that customer. I mean, it's not a big ask. And so there's also this part to it. And 30 seconds, like, run the numbers. If that means that you get an extra, $200 lifetime value out of that customer, it's worth someone's 30 seconds to do that. Like, absolutely.
It really all does come down to, like, what you're willing to invest into getting that lifetime value from the person that comes in. Is there an industry or business that you think this lends really well to? I mean, you had just mentioned that e-commerce was on the periphery, but who were the leaders who started this, right? Who you guys were like, yeah, this is it. And then now who is it?
So this is interesting. There's two types. So a lot in the industry, there's two types of users this is great for, and they are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. One is, their business is very relationship driven. So you have things like services, so like financial, accountancy, legal, where relationships are crucial to that business. And they're looking at ways to get that relationship across, make a best first impression straight away, stand out for the competition. The other end of the spectrum is the industries where relationships have traditionally been zero importance, like e-commerce, like to an extent, like some SaaS. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are doing it there, it is like standing out like a sore thumb because others don't do it. And so weirdly, those ones that do it, it's a massive competitive advantage because people are like, oh, this is strange. There's humans here behind this. and so again, it's weird that it works best for those that are like super relationship driven because it's so relationship driven, and the ones where it's not because it's a competitive advantage and it's unusual. Again, that's super high level. That filters down. So like e-commerce on the one side is awesome. Education on the other side is awesome. SaaS used to be this side. It's starting to get more relationship driven. I think people are starting to realize that and probably clock on quite early. Like customer success, that term didn't exist, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? I think it's coined by Gainsight and Mark Benioff.
Isn't that crazy? And yet it's so vital. I mean, like, I know that with the software that I use, like, I lean on my customer success person. They are part of my team. Yeah, and they get excited with numbers just as I get excited with numbers, right?
Yeah, and it's It's not that it wasn't being done. I think that giving it a term and molding that role has given it a level of importance that it didn't necessarily have. And this has been driven by, I think this has all been driven by competition. The fact there's so much more choice now than there used to be. We have to do a better job with customers. Whereas before, if you were the only person making, X widgets, didn't matter because if someone wanted it, they had to come to you. Now there are 10 people doing it. You have to do a better job of competing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also where that relationship really comes in, right? It's hard to ignore someone that you have a bi-weekly meeting with. Exactly. It's easy to ignore someone that you don't really talk to very often unless there's a problem. And even when there is a problem, they don't address it really well either. Like, you're just kind of left hanging. So it definitely makes the difference. Now, I do have another question for you in regards to the videos that Bonjoro that you guys are structured to send out. Is that through email or is it also through a messenger?
Yeah, so we primarily do email. We also do links that can be embedded into messengers, SMS, anything else. We find most users still go with email. I think because we're quite broad. So again, we're not as industry focused, we're quite broad. And for most consumers, like most people collect your email rather than SMS. That's where most people connect. But things can be shared out into other channels if needed.
So with that, my email box is full. There's a lot of weight on that subject line. I mean, the video's inside. How do you get people to click and open it, right? Do you have advice for that? How do you stand out? I mean, like, the meat is inside, but how do people know that there is going to be a personalized video inside of that? What do you do with the subject line?
Yeah, so a couple of things here. One is we generally not use for cold. So, and I advise against it.
Yeah.
Like, just like in terms of ROI, like we might get you triple the open rates that other cold stuff does, but cold ain't good. So it's not worth the time. That in mind, we generally be used as second touch point. So it's very rare that we are being used unexpectedly. So again, we're engagement tools. So someone signs up, someone purchases, and then something comes to that company like pretty quickly because we'll actually notify a team member instantly when the triggers happen so they can send straight away. It's coming in. So it's that is a bias that helps. We we run what we call a, like pre-built funnels, where basically we have like our most successful customers in all these industries build out and explain exactly how they use it, what subject lines they use, what subject content they use, down to how they structure the video. I'd say have a read of those and copy those guys because they get the best results. I mean, look, we see average open rates across the board of about 70 to 80%. You know, where there's very engaging brands, like I've seen 98% is not uncommon. So it's, and the stats seem that they work, but there is a bias that we are being used with people who understand the brand it's coming from.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. Now, are you just a fan of video in general? And let me give you context for this, because my next question is, all right, we've talked about how to use, you know, Bonjoro, how you guys use it for other brands as well. What are your thoughts on video outside of that? What are your thoughts on video on social?
Yeah, so like, I'm a fan of people. I'm a fan of creative. And I'm a creative, like I work as an artist in my spare time. So I'm a fan of that stuff. Video, again, like I reiterate, is a medium, like the way I see it. You know, like words can be emotive, images can be emotive, video can be extremely emotive, like I think. Yeah. So I think you need a mix of mediums. Like it's one more medium in your quiver, but if you're not using it, you need to. Both in terms of, like, I think it's transparency between team and customers. Like, that's obviously like a key part. It's transparency between team and team. It's also like a creative medium. So like, yes, get creative, have some fun with it. It is engaging. I mean, we all know the stats about how much video is being watched and how much bandwidth it's taking like these days.
Yeah.
It's become the norm in many instances. So like it's a window, however you want to use it, but it's not, but don't just think I have to have video for the sake of video. Like, I think you have to have communication with customers and video is an option there. You have to have creative content and video is an option there. You need to have educational content and kind of thought leadership and video is an option there. So use it alongside other mediums, measure it. Hey, look, if you're selling books, then maybe like everything you do should be written. Like I don't know. Yeah, like make sure the medium fits. But there's a likelihood that visual content and moving visual content is going to be part of what you need to do.
That's funny that you said books, because I just recently got turned on to an app that provides music and background sound to like children books that you can read out loud. So, and that's all meant to be like actually something that is recorded in a video, which is, you know, again, why I was really also very excited to talk to you, because I think that like video is, I don't want to say, I said this earlier today, so I'm going to copy myself. You know, content is king, and I think video is, you know, taking over the monarchy because of the pandemic, because it is way more engaging and it's easier to explain myself like this. And you can see all of my movements. I mean, people listening can't see, but I gesture a lot, and which is why I need the video when I'm even recording something for audio, because I need to be able to see you and engage and know when you're leaning forward and know when we're going to interrupt each other. So I definitely think that there is a place for video.
I find it weird. Like, so I like every now and again, like I get a phone call, do like a phone interview. And I'm like, who are you? I can't see you. I don't trust you. like
it's
just kind of like, you
know? Like, It's so true. Even on Zoom, like, yeah, we have a requirement for our company where your camera has to be on, and it does make a difference. Like, you don't know when someone's going to say something if you don't see their face.
People that don't turn it on, I'm like, what are you hiding?
I want to see the laundry. If that's what you're hiding, let me see the laundry.
Like if I was meeting you for a coffee shop, you wouldn't hide with like a paper bag over your head. Like it's weird.
I just had a visual of what that would look like. You go around the corner, woman cross-legged with a cup of coffee. Like a little hole in the paper bag too. So you just drink, so you can drink it. Yeah. Well, I've got one final question for you. It's a little bit of a predictions question, right? Whether it's video or social media, where do you see 2021? Where do you see everything going for 2021?
Look, I think it'll be a build on what's happened over the last 12 months and a settling down, understanding what's working, what isn't. obviously everyone was like, oh, everyone on video tomorrow. Everyone on like Slack. And everyone just like bullhorn, like everyone's jumped on in these waves. And then now you hit a point where everyone's like, ooh, okay, we need to be more strategic. I need to learn here. Like, I mean,
yeah,
like internal comms, like you said, like before we talked, I have to make sure Slack's off. Like I turn mine off because it's never ending. And so you get this point where I think, like everything, we all jump on, we do everything, and then we kind of grow up and we go, like, I need to turn this stuff off, or I need to use it here and not here. And so I think it's just understanding where it works for you as a business, where comms are working, starting to get a bit more like understanding around data and attribution about what does work, what doesn't work, rather than just doing things for the sake of doing them. So I think it's just going to be a bit more maturing, and I think we'll see ourselves settle down by the end of 2021 on how we're using these different mediums, as we have done with, you know,
with
everything, time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that prediction, maturing for sure. I mean, 2020 was the year of uncertainty and testing a lot of things, trying a lot of new things. 2021, year of maturity. I like that. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining me. This is your airtime. So anything you want to plug, feel free, speak now or forever hold your peace.
If you want to try a personalized video, check out Bonjouro. Have a little look. It's free. It's free to get on board. If you ever like some advice, feel free to hit me up as well. If you go to LinkedIn and type in Papa Bear, I think there's three of us, and I'm the guy in the bear suit, so you can always find me.
In the guy in the literal bear suit. Excellent. Well, thank you again so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Katya.
What an interesting conversation with Matt on how authenticity is not just a buzzword. During this episode, we dove into the value of creating an authentic connection, how authenticity is the key to human connection, that it's not just a buzzword, it's a way of life. He also shed some insight on the Bonjouro story and how he used influencers, also known as customers, to really help build his brand. It's all about finding those people who are true brand fans to help you reach others who will soon be fans. And all of that leads to more than just a single purchase customer. It leads to a lifetime customer. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes and leave us a review. We want to hear good stuff. If you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.